This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Come with me on a journey into the mind, into the misunderstood and mysterious world of neurodiversity, into a place of daring discovery and desperate darkness, but also, you know, fun. Come with me if you dare, into the universe.
Welcome to the latest episode of Into the Neuroverse, where myself, Colin Holt, takes you on a journey into my own mind, primarily all about my neurodiversity and maybe yours. Maybe there are thoughts, ideas, and tricks here that can help you. Or maybe it's we're just having a big old cry. I'm here with lovely Jamie Firth. Hello. The Watson to my Holmes or the Holmes to my Watson? I don't know. Actually, I'm more like the Watson, aren't I? I babble along and tell the story and you give the answers.
I don't know. You're more like Holmes in your mind palace just hanging out there.
God, what I'd be to stay there. Or that horrible dream that I murdered someone last night.
Really?
It was like a sort of slightly naughty thing I'd done. Do you ever have those dreams?
What, murder? Murder's
well,
very
in real
naughty.
Life, I know it's really naughty, but it was like I'd put something, you know, something I shouldn't have on my tax return or something, and someone was checking on it.
Right.
Of those where everyone keep nearly finding out that I'd murdered. It was a man. I'd murdered a man. This is a dreadful start. But it really, really put me on edge this today. I won't lie, Jamie. That's how I've been feeling on edge all day.
Wait a minute, Carl. Are you saying you killed off a man?
Couldn't it? Oh, Jesus. Someone said, are you still doing Anna Mann? If so, would you like to do this gig? And I sent back, I'm sort of just doing stand-up as myself now. And they haven't replied.
Okay, pass.
I don't know. I thought there was something. It's me taking it the wrong way. I shouldn't take, it's easy to take things the wrong way, isn't it? But somehow I took that, the request itself, as a sort of insult. You know what I mean? Because
would you like me to be myself? No, not
yeah,
really. No.
Yeah, I took it as a dog. We're also trying to, right now as we speak, my producer's trying to say to me, we're putting out the stuff for the new show that I'm taking to Edinburgh. I'm going to say it now. Mm-hmm. I think I've said it enough places. And they want to put it out early. So it's just a quick blurb. But they've put... Colin, Edinburgh Award nominee is back, and for the first time, he's Colin. I don't know why, it doesn't quite land for me. And then it's, you know, stars and awards and all that stuff. It doesn't quite land. Why doesn't that wording land? Why doesn't that quite work? For the first time, he's Colin. Does it work for you? It just feels a bit naff. Feels like, and for the first time, he's Colin. You know?
I think if you do say it in that voice, but I'm not sure you'll get that.
Other people don't read it in that voice. He's replied now. So this is all very real time. We'd love to send this off ASAP. It can be changed once it's on sale. Absolute final send off is 24th of April. Okay, fine. Great. Yep, all good.
That's 10 weeks. That's fine.
Okay, brilliant. Right. Well, that's the start of this podcast is me.
Real time,
you saw
podcast,
me finishing
then.
That off. So what is this show, Jamie? Do you want to sort of explain what this show is in a few words? Because I'll bang on forever.
This show, you began this show to share your thoughts about your recent diagnoses of ADHD and your self-diagnosis of autism and just the way your brain works. And to just kind of talk about it. And then that rambled on for ages and ages. And I thought, I've got to put a stop to this. So I stepped in and said, no, Colin approached me and said, would you come and help guide it so that we keep it on track and keep it a bit more
and
focused.
How do you think you're doing with that?
Really? Terribly. I mean, all that podcast business at the beginning.
We've had no feedback.
That'll have to go.
I mean, really importantly, actually, if people could leave a review and or at least give it 5 stars, or at least tell us how we're getting on, because I feel like we're just pissing into the dark sometimes. I'll tell you what, even worse, I got an email. I keep getting emails from like these dodgy sounding companies who are like, I think they exist to try and get you to pay them to help you get more listeners or whatever. But it says, the headline of this recent one I got says, 12 episodes and only 9 reviews. That's the headline. And then it somehow...
Yeah, they really do...
But it felt quite a personal space invasion. A personal space invasion, that's right, isn't it? In that they were sort of going through my thing and going, you're not doing very well, are you? You need to do this more. So if people could review it, it will stop them doing that for a start.
We can constantly get through messages from, you know, you've got like a form on the website that people can contact you, leave a message. There's no like personal email address. They just send it to a form. We constantly get messages through saying, I went on your website and it's awful. I'm a designer and I would like to help you with your website.
But what's your website? Have you got a website? Oh,
yes.
Your personal website.
Okay.
Yeah. It's quite rude, isn't it? It's very insulting.
I mean, if anyone wants to go on www.boondogtheatre.com and send abuse, then wonderful.
Oh, good. Yes, wonderful. You must.
But I think the general rule of thumb from people from this is if you really love the show, it would be great if you could post that very publicly with 5 stars. And if you have any negative things about the show, then do get in touch. But don't post them anywhere. Anyone else?
Yes, please. For God's sake. But yeah, you know, I mean, the problem is with my ADHD brain, what I'm about to say, I feel is not okay because it feels like I'm blackmailing people or holding them hostage. But with my ADHD brain, as you know, Jamie, I very quickly give up on things, very quickly go, oh, we'll do a whole different thing. We've already got a whole different podcast in the wings and we haven't arguably really started this one. And so, you know, I need you to do those reviews, friends. I really do, if you're enjoying this. And I know quite a few people are enjoying them. Also, if you want to help fund it, it's patreon.com/Colin Holt. And you will get lots of goodies doing that. Haven't actually put any goodies together yet, but we will at some point. God, this is a dreadful advert, isn't it?
But
let's keep going. So we talk about a different thing every week, and then every few weeks we bring on a guest to chat about it. I think the lovely Felicity Ward is coming on here. So, sounds bad because it's a girl. I have to say the lovely, isn't it? I suppose I'd say lovely if it was a boy as well.
I mean, she probably has to come
hot
on now.
Stuff, Felicity Ward.
Now that you've trailed it.
Yeah. But would I say a boy was lovely? I mean, this is a deeper question, isn't it?
Would I say
a boy was lovely? Would I tell him he was kind? We'll write that song later. My brain's all over the bloody shop. But I've been in and out of that shed. Like, do you know what, Jamie? I was all good and up for this. And then we're trying to do it on Riverside, which is apparently better. But the Wi-Fi hasn't got to my shed yet. I know it isn't like an army marching slowly towards my shed. That is kind of how I think of Wi-Fi, though. It's like an army of ants, and they're trying to get in my shed. At the minute, there's only a few trickles of ants getting through, but I probably need to do a thing, don't I? This is the worst thing about, I know it's not what we're talking about today, but the worst thing about ADHD is just the steps. I've said this before, you know what I mean? I just want to press a button and Wi-Fi works, but nothing is ever like that, is it? You have to do that, then you have to do that, then you have to do that, and then you have to phone them, and then you have to, awful, awful stuff. How do we do anything, Jamie? But I've got a new book.
I mean, how do you do anything, you know, practical and important? Oh. Like, you know, you have a house.
I don't know. Maybe,
how many people did you need?
I'm starting to think maybe the I did get a broker, which helped because I wouldn't have been fucked otherwise. And I just assume he knew what he was talking about. But I do every now and again. I was going to say maybe the answer is just to not think about it. Because when you think about it, you go, oh, no, I don't know what any of this stuff is. I realized the other day, this is to do with my kids. We talk about my kids and they're without, I don't think we're quite ready to properly, openly discuss it all. But they're, you know, on the pathway and stuff to the same things. We're talking about how my daughter, I think, is similar to me in some ways, in that certain things like telling the time and stuff, there's just this block. I mean, I can tell the time, but I still struggle. Or like with northeast, southwest, I still struggle. And apparently with ADHD, there's certain things where if the information gets in your brain, it just, there's like a switch goes and it just stops working and you can't process anything anymore. Do you know what I mean? That's like why if someone's, you know, you can be very bright and good at school or whatever, but if someone's just going, Colin, you need to listen. It's this and then this and then this and then this. You just stop listening. You know what I mean? Like your emails, I could only get through first couple of sentences, Jamie. That was insulting.
Oh, that's common across the board.
That was very insulting.
That's common.
Yeah, but well, most emails. So, yeah. So, but anyway, I realized the other day, I still can't really tie my own shoes. It's never gone in. It's just never, it won't go in, Jamie.
Would you like to talk about oversharing?
Do you have anything? Can you tie, all right, neurotypical Ned, can you tie your own shoes? Okay. Well done. For you. Aren't you clever, mate? Aren't you clever sitting there with your tied shoes? Think you're dead good, don't you? Think you're better than us, don't you?
I've got slippers on at the moment. What? I mean,
that. Oh, have you? I wish. Oh God, I've left them in the shed. My feet are like ice. That voice I just did there is my is the people I grew up with in Nottingham who used to all be like, think you're dead clever, don't you? Using all them big words. There's another thing, right? We are getting onto the topic, but with autism, I do think there is quite a common voice. Quite a few people I know who have autism or who might have. I've exhausted myself, Jamie, by the way. I'm really tired. I was like, I just did a gig then. Ugh. People who have it, you know, you don't, sometimes you don't really get the accent of the place you're from. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what that is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know you're not, we think you're neurotypical, but like over the years since leaving Nottingham, I've sort of got more of a Nottingham accent, I think, weirdly, partly from doing characters from Nottingham. But growing up, people are like, my best mates were like, oh, you think you're clever, don't you? Talking all posh and that. Do you know, and I think, and but then other friends I know who've grown up, like someone I knew grew up in Newcastle and someone, and they're people who are either autistic or people who are, I think probably are autistic. Without saying who they are, but they never had an accent either. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what that is. That's interesting. I think there's like literally an autistic accent.
I wonder. I do a lot of thinking about that because I'm originally from the Midlands.
Yeah.
Not far from
Coventry.
Is it Coventry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither I nor my partner have much of an accent, not much of the actual Coventry accent. And I wonder whether it is because of it's how you're raised, and I feel like I was raised a lot by movies and television, and so I encountered a huge like swathe of different accents. So maybe I didn't develop one in particular. Whereas if you actually grow up in a place and interact with people locally, then you would kind of only hear one sort of voice, and that would be the one that you would presumably gravitate
towards.
Well, that's
an interesting idea. And did your parents have accents?
Yes, but not Coventry accents. They're both from
okay.
Else.
So at the same time also, is that very loud, by the way? I just moved my mic a bit. I thought it was too far away.
That's fine.
So at the same time, I guess you're hearing a rain. You're not, the Coventry accent isn't the first thing you hear. I mean, my parents did have quite strong Nottingham accents, I think. My brothers definitely do. But I always had that kind of like, hello, kind of voice. Do you know that kind of, I guess it's the typical geek voice. Anyway, right. So the topic of today, that's tired us out, hasn't it? How long was that? Should we have a little break? That really exhausted me. You got a little window into how exhausting it is. Let's have a short break and then we'll come back with the topic of oversharing. Thanks for listening so far, everyone.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages?
because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, yeah, we're back. We're back. As Jamie has pointed out, if you can see the video of this, there's a huge clock behind me, almost like, but that clock just follows me around wherever I go. It's there to sort of, you know, remind me how bad I am at telling the time. It's a sort of monkey on my back. It's a curse. You know, like those old sort of Hammer horrors where you get cursed and it follows you around.
Is it like Flavor Flav? Do you take it off the wall and put it around your neck?
I'm not sure who Flavor Flav is.
He's the guy with the big...
Is that Run DMC?
Clock. Do you know? I don't
you
know.
You said a thing you don't know. It's more like a sort of spooky sort of... It's more like from Oh, Whistle and I'll Come to You, My Lad, if you've ever seen that, where there's like a spooky clock just wherever I go, it's there, just over my shoulder, looking down at me, going, you can't even tell the time, mate. You think you're dead clever, don't you? You can't even tell what I am, can you? Who am I? What am I now? Can't tell, can you, mate? Like that. I think with my stand-up I'm making more and more nowadays, like I want to go more into the Richard Pryor thing, and I think, you know, how he brings sort of inanimate objects to life, like his heart or a car engine. But I think I'll give them all Nottingham accents, and they'll all basically be telling me I think I'm better than I am. Like, the whole universe is doing
good,
that's my neuroverse. Oh god, yeah. I think last time we spoke, I was in a very happy place. And I kept that up I think it might be a record for how long I've kept it up. And right, I got very down a couple of days ago, but I think I'm sort of level now. But I've still got to build myself back up again. It's quite tiring, isn't it? I mean, I suppose everyone has to do that. But you're like, I'm doing it. I'm winning. I know what I'm doing. I can see the goals and all that. And then something just knocks you. And I spiraled to a point of like, literally, I was like, why bother? Why bother doing anything ever? And now I've had to slowly build myself back up again. Sorry, we're going all over the shop here. So you're getting a lovely peek into my brain, into the neuroverse. But what I'm saying is the neuroverse has been a bit unpleasant, I suppose, recently, but it's the light is filtering back in slowly. We went through a cave of darkness, but here we are getting brighter and brighter. Thanks to Jamie. My companion. God, I've turned into a right weirdo. Right, so what I thought we could talk about today, Jamie, is oversharing. We've got a series of topics I've written on a Google Doc. That's as far as I got to. And oversharing is one of them. So I overshare a lot. I mean, the nature of this podcast is that. And I can't understand people who don't. Don't get me wrong, I would give my back teeth to be a Clint Eastwood-style gunslinger with no name, who everyone thinks is incredibly cool and who acts rather than talks. Imagine if there was a cool man with no name gunslinger, but he's got ADHD and just can't stop telling everyone everything. That would actually be quite a funny film, I think, from Nottingham. But he's still really good at the gunslinging when he remembers to like have his gun on him. But apart from that, he's just constantly telling as opposed to just saying the odd word. Apparently, Clint Eastwood would literally get scripts and just cross out all his lines. And just get them down to like a yup or a, you know, I was going to say no way. I don't know if he said no way, but, you know, something like, I don't know. That's out of the question. What did Clint Eastwood say? That's out of the question.
That's what he said. Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood famously said, that is out of the question. But yeah, I'd love to be that guy. But in reality, I overshare a lot. I literally have that gag in my stand-up where I say, you know, one of the symptoms of ADHD is telling everyone you meet you've got ADHD. And what I find is as soon as it even became a thing, I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't really know ADHD existed. I knew it existed, but I'd never considered it for myself or anything. And sort of this autism I was aware of because I had that in my family going back, but it still was sort of over there, you know. And so as soon as I started to go into this world, I was just telling everyone, you know, and you very quickly, we've got to a point, me and my wife, where we almost have like a list of who we talk about it to and who we don't, that we've had to put together. Right. Because there are some people who, and, you know, I hate to add, no one is ill-meaning in this. You know, no one's like being a dick, but it's just there are people who will be like, oh, okay, right, and talk to you about it. And there are people who are like, as I've said many times, people who just go, well, you don't look like one, or you don't present like one, or you're not, you know. And then there are people who go, no, you're all right. There's nothing wrong with you. And, or, you know, oh, I do that sometimes, and that kind of thing. Again, all well-meaning. Yeah. I'm not trying to have a go at people. But it's just, it's a problem, really, because, I mean, I think in a way I've created this podcast because whether I was by myself or with you, I'm able to just talk about it at length, and it has arguably some worth or some kind of creative documentary element. So I'm not just saying it to someone on a street corner, you know, when we're on our way to pick the kids up from school or whatever. But yeah, it is a thing. Oversharing is just, and it's always been the particular thing, which is normally a fixation. So there's a long time when I went through sort of thinking about my childhood and realizing quite a lot of the weird stuff in my childhood that I hadn't sort of quite clocked how, you know, arguably unhelpful it had been and how it had got me to that point where I was quite a messed up person. And so I find myself just talking about that to almost strangers, you know, or to people I'd met that day. To the point where any interview or podcast I do, my cat's always like, she's not as bad as this, but she's literally like, just see if you can not say ADHD or not mention. But it's essentially, she's not trying to stop me or anything. She's just like, I guess it's whatever my fixation is at the time. And at the minute, it's generally that. Okay, I have literally talked a lot there. So what about you, Jamie? From your point of view, I feel like I don't actually know that much about you, mainly because I don't let you speak. No. But where are you at with that? I mean, even with your work, it's Lucy's often the one, your partner, I can say her name, can't I? Yeah, we've said this. Is at the front. She's on stage normally. Not normally yes. You. Yes. Without analyzing you with that. I'm just sort of like, you're not someone it feels who needs, you like telling stories and jokes and stuff, but you doesn't feel like you need to go, all right, basically this thing happened and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think I mentioned on a previous episode that I've started to do some therapy just to see what it'd like, to see if mm-hmm. it would be helpful to have some rather than mm-hmm. to do some. And I think that's something that we identified very early on. I found it incredibly difficult to share anything really. And it's going to be an interesting, I think I'm keen to go down this road to try and work out why that is. And I guess some of it's upbringing and, you know, as a family, I don't think we really shared emotions very much. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a lot of kind of repressed stuff that's inside and quite private, I think. So don't like anybody knowing my business.
Right. You know? I mean, I realize by asking you these questions, I am literally causing you
No, but that's good.
Stress,
I say, actually. That is a good thing for me because I think I've come to a point where I'm like, I don't know why it must be much easier to be able to talk to
well it isn't it isn't so two things. One, I was interested in asking you why you don't want other people to know your business, because that's quite an old-fashioned kind of thing, isn't it? My mum always had a thing where she's always been like terrified of people coming in her house, or they'll be calling me house. She's always had this phrase, calling, which I think means no one else seems to know it, even other people in Nottingham. But I think it means as in calling me names, or as in, do you know what I mean? They'll be calling my house, is what she always used to say, to the point where even if it's some desperately needed help, but she'll deny it because it'll be, you know, oh, I don't want them coming in here and calling me ass, telling everybody what I've got and all this kind of thing. Yeah. And she hasn't got anything. I mean, that's a, it's not like there's a hidden bank vault in there or anything. Do you know what I mean?
There's always the thing in the back of your mind when you find yourself thinking, what would people think? I think you should always immediately go, and why does that bother me? Like, why do I care what people think? I think that's at the heart of my thing. It's that I'm constantly worried about what people think of me. I desperately want to be thought of as like really nice and like I'm desperate for people to like me.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. No.
It sounds like I'm being jokey, but you don't come across like that. And that sounds really bad. So I'm not trying to say you don't come across as nice, because you definitely come across as approachable and nice and friendly, but you seem more like, I guess I've always seen you as someone who's kind of concerned with things. I don't mean concerned as in I'm worried about things, but just kind of like, I wouldn't have put being nice or being liked as high in your motivations.
Maybe it's not liked. I think I want people to think I'm useful.
Right.
Like that I'm a useful person.
And what would it?
Maybe that's why I'm here. I don't know.
God, this is good, isn't it? This is like proper therapy now. And what would it be like if you weren't useful? What would be the consequences of not being useful?
Well, I think it's self, feeling self-worth, isn't it? It's old Maslow's pyramid of needs and, you know, self-actualization being at the top of it. What is my legacy? What do I want people... What do I want to be remembered for? What do I want to feel like my life has been?
So people who don't know Maslow's pyramid of needs, which I only came across recently, the idea is it's like three stratas, isn't it? And the bottom is shelter, food, a mate, is it?
Yeah, it's like unique physiological needs. It's things you need to survive.
And then the next one is, what's the next one? Like a partner maybe, or love.
So it's basically physiological at the bottom and then safety. Right. I'm not looking this up. Personal security, employment, resources, and health. Then it's love and belonging and connections. Then it's esteem. And then at the top, it's self-actualization, which is the desire to become the most that one can be. And the idea is that you basically need to have everything on the level below to be able to achieve the things above. So you have to first have physiological needs, then safety. Only then can you then move up the pyramid, right, essentially.
Yes. Bread before church. I think Bertolt Brecht said, wasn't it? Bread before...
Is that a communion wafer
like
joke?
That. Could be. It sounds like... I don't think it is. I think it's saying there's no point trying to preach to people if they're hungry. Is what it's saying. Although actually hungry people are probably the most susceptible to bullshit religious arguments, aren't they? But interesting. I mean, actually though, what you're talking about, I don't know if you are talking about self-actualization in that sense, are you? Because you're actually talking about safety and a need to belong more.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, Jamie, though, like this oversharing thing, because I feel like on the flip side, like you were saying, it's probably good to overshare and stuff. But genuinely, I look at you and I think, God, I prefer to be someone who's a bit more stoic, but maybe I'm a big fan of the Stoics. I hesitate to say that because of like, a lot of what sort of Elon Musk types are into Stoicism, aren't they? But I think at its core, it's great. And
it's a balance, isn't it? It's interesting that... we've been talking about us being at the opposite ends of that spectrum and, you know, both wanting to be more like the other.
But what I was going to say was that, do you know Brené Brown? She's very popular, well-known, yeah.
Yes.
So I got her book, or Kat got me her book about, it's like almost like an A to Z of emotions. And it's really interesting because it actually really expands on everything and what you think you know about what emotions are. You're not always right. They're more complicated than you think. So for example, one example is jealousy and envy aren't what you think they are. So envy is where you want something someone else has, and jealousy is where you're worried someone is going to take away the thing you have or destroy the thing you have. Apparently, technically, that's what they actually refer to, but everyone just kind of mixes them up, you know. Or like it just takes anger, and it's like, well, anger is too broad, too vague a concept. So you need to break it down into, you know, feeling belittled or resentful, you know, all this. It's very good when you pin the names. But just something that's always stuck me that she says is vulnerability. It's all about vulnerability. Basically, vulnerability leads to joy, happiness, self-actualization, all these things, you know. So wearing a, not opening up and being vulnerable basically stops you finding true happiness in its essence. I'm sure she says it much better and I've probably got it wrong. But what she said that really, really clicked with me is being vulnerable isn't actually the same as just going blah, blah, blah and oversharing. They're two different things. Because actually, to take my mum, for example, and pretty sure she'll never hear this, but in all honesty, I have got to the point in my life where I kind of would quite like her to hear this because I don't think there's any way I can tell her in normal life. But my mum will just tell you everything, but tell you nothing, you know? So she'll tell, and it's very hard to speak to her on the phone these days because it's just like a dam has burst and just everything comes through. But anything you're saying to try and alleviate those problems or say, you know, well, have you tried this? Or maybe look at it like this, or maybe that person doesn't mean that, or maybe is falls on deaf ears, you know, quite literally. She won't hear any of that stuff. I mean, she always leaves her hearing aid out as well, which is particularly difficult. But it's like she's telling you everything. She's telling you everything, but actually she's not telling you what's really going on, not telling you what she's actually feeling or the real cause of things. It's just venting, I suppose. So, and with oversharing, I don't know if I maybe do that a lot. I don't know. With other people, probably, I don't know. Because also there is that thing where you can go blah, 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 blah. And someone's like, okay, well, let me try and help you. And you don't really want the help. You just want to keep going. I don't know. Why do we overshare? Is it that we're looking, I guess it's the same thing you're looking for, which is approval, isn't it? So we're like, I'm telling people this and they'll say, yes, you're right, Colin, I suppose, maybe.
I mean, I suppose we all have different definitions of oversharing as well. Like where is the line? How comfortable are you sharing? And what is it specific things that you don't want to share? Or is it stuff that is oversharing when you suddenly realize this person did not want to hear that? They don't need to know that.
I mean, it's that thing of like when someone says, how are you? And I think it's a bit crap. The British thing are like, are you all right, mate? Yeah, I'm all right. You know, whereas I will often go, well, actually, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, I think while we wrap up, I think what advice I'd say from what I've learned, and at the minute, I mean, in all honesty, as you can probably tell if you've been listening so far, I guess I'm slightly fragile for some reason at the minute. I don't feel as stoic and strong and stuff as I have maybe on earlier podcasts. I feel okay, but I feel a bit more like wibbly wobbly. So at the minute I feel very overshare-y. And I think the things, it's definitely worked with for someone you do trust, like a wife or a Jamie, to just, you know, discuss these things and work out who can you tell about this, you know, and also that you don't have to tell everyone. And if you've got a couple of people you can talk about your ADHD or autism with, but at the same time, you shouldn't hide your light or anything. You should feel free to tell anyone, whatever. But sometimes it's just, it might be worth just having a little list in your head of, you know, maybe that person, why am I trying to tell that person? And if that person's being a bit like, well, you don't look like it, or I'd never say that, which is weirdly hurtful because I guess it's a rejection, isn't it? Or it's a kind of, I don't know, it's bizarre. But you have to, but maybe it's worth just remembering they're not someone to talk to about it.
Yeah.
And journal. It's really annoying, but journaling is the answer. It's like I had that joke with the Anna Mann show about depression where, you know, the answer's always running. Have you tried running? And it's really frustrating because you're like, fucking can't just be running, but it really is, you know. And similarly, I think the answer to oversharing is journaling because you just get loads out.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you're doing.
I am journaling.
This is
yeah, journaling, you know, in a sense.
Whether it's video or, you know, it's sharing stuff, even if you're only sharing it with yourself and like writing it down for your own reference.
Well, this is going to have to be a cut short one, I'm afraid, everyone, but we'll be back next week. It was nice though. Nice little chat, wasn't it, Jamie? Just purely for technical reasons and time reasons, we've had to make it a bit of a short one. But as I said, please, my friends, review and rate us and go on Patreon. Patreon.com/Colin Holt and go on my website, iamcolinholt.com, for all the upcoming gigs. There is a 15th of February, I'm doing a new material night and I need to get people there because I forgot about it again. So lovely. All right. Thank you, Jamie.
I was going to say, if you want people to be there, do you want to tell them
where it is? Oh, it's in Camden. It's at the Camden Head.
I mean, I'm not a PR guy, but
it's called like Colin Holt's Wild Night of Frivolity and Jest.
I feel like you've just made it up.
It really is. The last one was pretty dire, but in a brilliant way. It was a really bizarre audience that would not, they refused to become a single entity. No matter how hard I tried, they were a collection of absolute, quite fascinating characters, but it actually ended up kind of sort of brilliant for that. I mean, when I say brilliant, I wouldn't want anyone I respect to have seen that night. But come along, because there is a joy in the new material stuff, because you don't know what's going to happen. And I, with the new material, I try and keep it as loose and like this as I can, as in literally not really write anything. And
sometimes these are the best moments, aren't they?
But very rarely. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you to Daniel for the music. Thank you, Jamie. And thank you, all my friends. Goodbye. Say bye, Jamie.
Bye, Jamie.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.